And welcome back. The Donald Danforth Plant Science Center in St. Louis has a national reputation for the work it's doing, but St. Louis wants to expand its reach in the plant and life science fields. An event is being held at the Danforth Center this evening to promote creation of infrastructure and culture to encourage startup businesses in the plant and life science field. It's titled Growing St. Louis's Plant and Life Science Ecosystems and Harvesting Commercial Success. Here in studio to talk about sowing the seeds of growth in this area are Sam Fiorello, the Chief Operating Officer and Senior Vice President for Administration and Finance and President of Bio-Research and Development Growth Park at the Danforth Center. Thomas Osha is Managing Director of Innovation and Economic Development for Wexford Science Plus Technology. David Smoller is General Partner at Cultivation Capital Life Science Fund and Chief Business Officer at Horizon Discovery. Thank you all so much, gentlemen, for being with us.
Thank you.
Catch my breath for just a second here, and then we'll move on. Let me begin with Sam. Why is the growth and development in this area of plant and life sciences so important to the St. Louis region?
Well, thanks. First of all, thanks, Don, for having us on the show. We believe that this could be a renaissance, economic renaissance for our region. We are playing to our strengths at the Danforth Center and the Bridge Park in ag tech, plant tech. We have seen growth in the 5 years since we've been in existence with the Research Park and the 10-plus years with the Research Institute. We now have researchers from around the world. We have companies that we've grown from our local economy, either Danforth Center startups or other startups in the region. But we've also been able to recruit companies from places like India and China and Germany and other parts of the U.S. So great jobs, 21st century jobs, and a lot more to come.
Tom, what is it about St. Louis that would be attractive to startups and entrepreneurs?
You know, we think two things. First of all, Don, is talent. Talent trumps everything. And when you think about the kind of talent that the Danforth Center attracts, at WashU, UMSL, SLU, the community college, the schools, that makes a talent-rich environment. And that's what is the fuel of entrepreneurial activity. Innovation is entirely a social enterprise. And so the more folks you can bring into that orbit, the more chance you have of being able to scale those entrepreneurial businesses.
And David Smoller, how great is the influence of the Danforth Plant Science Center in all of this?
Oh, you've got the critical mass of capabilities in St. Louis, and Danforth Center is clearly a major piece of that. You include that with Washington University, St. Louis University, UMSL. We have what now is critical mass for innovation in this region.
When we talk about plant science and plant sciences, what exactly are we talking about?
Well, it's in the word, right? Plant. I think we're all talking about nutrition. We're talking about agriculture, and that's really what Danforth Center is. Of course, Monsanto is another example of the great capabilities we have around plant science. But we're broader than that in St. Louis. We have both life science and plant science, and healthcare as an umbrella to all that.
And Sam Fiorello, what are the areas of research that are most important and where the need is greatest in terms of the entrepreneurial input?
So, Don, the global challenges are this. We're going to have to create a lot more food in the next 50 years, almost doubling of food, and we're going to have to do it with less inputs. That's a tremendous challenge for humankind. It also presents an opportunity for innovators, for folks to take technology and deliver that through products and services to figure out how farmers can grow more food using less. We're at the front end of it here in St. Louis. We are, unlike places like Boston and San Francisco that have a very rich and robust history in biomedical, in plant science, we can say with a straight face today, we are the world's leading center for plant and ag science and innovation. And we can see that with the companies that we're growing and attracting.
This too comes at something of a price, in as much as some of the research that's being done, perhaps at Danforth, certainly at Monsanto, as we're talking about genetically modified plants, if you will. And what role does that play in this whole process? A lot of people don't like this.
Yeah. So I was just in New Madrid, Missouri, this weekend, and it's 3 hours south of here. It's heavy agriculture, and what I saw there on a farm, they were still harvesting their soybeans and cotton, is tractors that have more technology on them today than the Apollo 11 spacecraft had to put a man on the moon and bring him back. we saw in the coffee shops farmers with their iPads out talking about not what's proper for this 100-acre parcel, but this square foot within a farm. It's heavy IT, it's heavy data, it's heavy information. GMOs and biotech, it's a lot of the limelight, and it's one piece of a vast platform of this world we call plant tech and ag tech.
Yeah. But that's just to cut in, it's an important point that all this is necessary for us not to starve. You know, we need greater productivity. Just looking at the amount of meat we eat, we need to feed those animals to be able to get more meat for the population that's growing, as well as just eating the plants themselves. And GMOs, without GMOs, we'd be starving in the future.
Well, I think I understand that, and a lot of people do. But nonetheless, there is a great skepticism, and that's something that you all have to deal with.
Sure.
Right? Yeah, and I think that's a responsibility of the scientist to get out and be more be able to translate the science to the public to make sure they really understand the value of the science and know that it's safe and so forth. And in some respects, we've not done a good job.
Tom, what kind of work is your organization doing?
So what Wexford specializes in is building knowledge communities, which are kind of amenity-rich, mixed-use, multidimensional platforms that are really driven by a major research institution like the Danforth Plant Science Center or a major university like WashU. And so in the St. Louis market, we have two. The Bridge Park building is a Wexford development, as well as Cortex. And the Cortex development there in the Central West End is Wexford as well. We have about 13 of these around the United States, and St. Louis is one of our premier markets. And the reason it is a premier market is we see all of the elements here that can really create what we call an innovation constellation. So instead of any one hub, you have several hubs. You have the plant science hub and what's happening around Danforth. You have a lot of life sciences and biotechnology happening around the Cortex and Barnes Jewish and WashU. You have things happening downtown at T-Rex. You have stuff happening in the county in Chesterfield. And what is really needed are these organizations, many of them exist here, that are starting to knit together these various deep threads into kind of a fabric of multidimensional innovation across this area. And when you start looking at areas to go where you can go from idea through pilot to manufacturing, St. Louis emerges as one of those top premier cities.
David, what about your outfit?
Yeah, you know, Cultivation Capital is about bringing funding to these innovative entrepreneurial startups. But just to comment on Tom's last discussion is that I think we've hit critical mass, and funding is part of that. So. Yeah. 20 years ago when I started my first company, I borrowed $5,000 from Dad because that was the only funding I had. Today, we have critical mass of funding to a level that will drive innovation. We have the state of Missouri, Missouri Technology Corporation. We have BioGenerator, who's been a great, great spark to innovation, both financing and their lab space that they provide at Cortex. And we have groups like Archangels, Gil Bickle and his group. So we now have critical mass.
So the money is out there. The potential for financing and funding is certainly there.
It has gotten to a level of critical mass. Whether we've gotten enough is still a question to be answered. But clearly, the days of just being able to find my parents to get $5,000 is not the only source of funding. And so today we have enough to be able to drive these companies to another level. We need more funding to take them to even higher levels, and that's the missing piece.
What about getting to the people who, you know, you might recruit to take advantage of what funding is available to get their own individual ball rolling?
Yeah, you know, trying to find, you know, quality entrepreneurs and CEOs and COOs is something that we need as a community to attract. And I think we've done that. I mean, if you look at all the companies out there that brought in those people, and so I think we're getting close. But it's critical mass. You need entrepreneurs, you need management, you need scientists, you need funding, you need space. And so all those things are required, and I think we are at the cusp at this point.
Tom, do you want to comment on that part of it?
You know, he's totally right. What David's saying. I think where we're seeing a lot of interest really coming is talent is that main driver. Money follows talent. The one thing St. Louis could use more of are the serial entrepreneurs. And so that's why it's so important to create these really dense knowledge communities where companies can go from idea all the way through full maturation, because it keeps those entrepreneurs in the market. It means they don't get pulled away to either coast, and you lose a valuable mentor, you lose a valuable role model. The more you can keep the serial entrepreneurs here, they could create teams, the more the money will follow those teams.
Well, I gather, Sam, that doesn't necessarily mean they have to have a scientific or a science background.
No, that's a great point, Don. And in fact, there are examples. First of all, to be successful in 5 years and 10 years, when we're going to define where we is successful or not, this initiative has got to be inclusive to all in our community. And it can't just be the privilege with PhDs from places like WashU and Stanford. It's got to drill down to individuals with a high school degree who can then go to a training program at the Bridge Park run by the St. Louis Community College to be skilled hands technicians at the bench. The Bridge Park Building 1 has been open 6 years. The first tenant was a partnership with the community college. It's a two-year training program. 20% of the folks who've gone through that program are African Americans, and they now work in places like the Danforth Center and the Siteman Cancer Center and Sigma Aldrich and Monsanto in labs. We need to do more of that. We need to figure out ways when we go out and solicit ideas that you talked about with David. We can't just solicit to a small group. We need to find diverse ideas from a diverse community, because it will make everyone enriched.
Mm-hmm. How much are you hobbled, if that's the right word, these days by the fact that we're having such difficulty recruiting young people into the STEM disciplines, science, technology, engineering, and math? I mean, clearly, it's critically important for the work that you're doing, and we as a country are way down on the list of students going in that area. You wanted to go ahead?
Yeah, I think there's a good population of people that want to go into science, and we need more. There's no doubt about it. I think it's still about a diverse set of talents. So somebody that has a background maybe in business and computer science and biology, that together is probably more valuable than somebody that has a single focus around science, especially in entrepreneurship, right? Really having a diverse set of capabilities is probably more valuable. I consider myself, I went to law school for a couple of years. I have a PhD. I have no formal business education, but I feel I have a little bit of business background from running a few companies. I'm not good at any one of those by themselves, but together it surely makes me successful, I think.
Could not agree more. As a matter of fact, if you look at the energy that's been coming to the opening of the Cambridge Innovation Center St. Louis, so CIC St. Louis, it's the first location of Cambridge Innovation Center outside the Cambridge-Boston area, and this is a dense concentration of startups. You walk through CIC and you see folks with science backgrounds, art backgrounds, you see folks with business, finance backgrounds, and that cross-pollination is really what drives disruptive innovation and helps businesses scale. What we're also finding is we're finding large companies want to be in those environments as well, right? And so Boeing wanted to be there. AB Mauri wanted to be there. Purina wanted to be there. You see what KWS wanted to be out at Danforth. They want to be in these environments where they can be exposed to a broad diversity of ideas, a broad diversity of talents, and that really gives you scale. As businesses begin to scale, the people they add aren't always the people in the science. That's when they start needing folks who are coming out of places like Harris Stowe and St. Louis University. So you need that liberal arts background as well.
You know, you mentioned Harris Stowe, and I was just going to, because we had the president of that institution on our program yesterday. And there's a tremendous emphasis at Harris Stowe, apparently, on STEM disciplines, that is something that is so obviously needed. And that's a great resource for you, I would think. Could be a great resource for you, Sam.
Absolutely is. I think if you look at Harris Stowe and what they're doing, there are initiatives that are being contemplated in this community to have a focused STEM programs for young women, girls. All of that's terrific. And there needs to be at least a minimum understanding of math and science to enter these fields. And from there, then it's a launching pad to do research or business development or marketing and all of those things. And I'm quite optimistic that we're doing a better job. And You know, the other point I was going to make, Don, one of the greatest breakthroughs that we've had in this community, and it's one that's vital, and Tom can talk to this, is a culture that embraces innovation. And by that I mean we have to celebrate losses as much as we do victories, because you know what? A lot of these new ventures, they fail. We are a conservative community. We don't like to boast. We don't like to take risks. But that's changing, and it needs to change. I mean, we're a baseball town, and you know the great batters that we celebrate, if they could bat 350, well, you've struck out and failed a lot. We have to get there, and we're doing a better job.
Tom, do you want to?
If you look at what people point to as great centers of innovation, right? Whether it's Cambridge, whether it's Silicon Valley, whether it's London, Austin, Texas, they all have a culture where it is permissible. In fact, it is regarded that you have tried things, because that's where the learning curve comes in. And that's where that seasoned entrepreneur that can help others avoid mistakes, can help shepherd others through a process, that's where they become highly valuable. And so you never want a region that drives those people away, because then what you're doing is starting over every single time.
What kind of research, innovation, startups are taking place here right now? I mean, where are we in that regard?
Well, I'll give you an example of – there's one of the Bridge Park companies is a company called New Leaf Symbiotics, and it's in this space called biologicals. And there are billions of microorganisms in our planet, on plant leaves, in soil, on roots, in fact, in humans as well. We know very little about what they do. We're starting to learn that there are beneficial symbiotic relationships that help give plants vigor. They can fight diseases, and they can take up nutrients more efficiently. New Leaf, a couple of guys from Boston, came to St. Louis to the Danforth Center for one of our conferences, Ag Showcase. We started to talk to them about how to move their business from an idea, some great intellectual property. We helped them get funding. They are now a tenant at Bridge Park. They've just finished their second round of funding, $17 million from a venture capital firm that's based on the West Coast, Otter Capital. They're employing more and more people. They're using the core facilities of the Danforth Center. All of those things are in the value proposition. Why here in St. Louis? Why at the Danforth Center, Bridge Park, and not in Boston or in Austin or somewhere else? The key, I think, is we have got to build and constantly reinforce that value proposition in order to make this successful.
Any other thoughts on some of the things going on that folks might want to know about?
Oh, we could spend hours talking about the great innovation that's happening in St.
Louis. How about 4 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. One of the obvious ones that's been very in the news lately has been a company called Immunophotonics, actually curing cancer with a totally different approach. Using your immune system to solve to cure cancer, it's non-toxic. You're not trying to do the normal chemotherapy where you're poisoning yourself. You're actually trying to enhance your immune system to cure cancer. And they've done about a dozen patients and that have really no other choice, very few opportunities for them to do other therapies. And within a short amount of time, about a third of those patients were completely cured of cancer. Now, again, they needed to do a statistical level of science, and with the help of Washington University, Cortex, the local community and funding, they're going to do a 100-patient study.
So I remember doing a story years ago over at the Missouri Botanical Garden and this great reserve of plants that they've been collecting and are working on. And someone there said that, the cure for cancer probably lies in a plant someplace, perhaps one that hasn't even been discovered yet.
Yeah, that's the key. We have so much diversity in our planet. We haven't touched the surface. So, and we need more innovators to dig through all that.
Right. Did you want to say something, Sam?
No, I agree.
Yeah. Well, when you think of bark being the source of aspirin, for instance, I mean, things like that. You know, it's a very simple thing, but look what, a product like that has done.
Sure. And plants are incredible factories to make compounds that we simply can't make. And those compounds, there are compounds there that are the next cure for X or Y or Z. It's a matter of mining them, figuring out how to reproduce those, and making the world a better place, improving the human condition.
How optimistic are you all that St. Louis can be this center that it's always wanted to be with regard to this and other of the high-tech subjects?
I'm all in optimistic. I think it's an exciting place to be, and we're still at the front end of this. And if we're sitting in this chair doing an interview 5 years from now, we'll have more jobs and startups that are both homegrown and attractive to the region.
Yeah, I just to follow on that, 20 years ago, I've been pretty skeptic. I mean, I had to borrow money from mom and dad. Today, BioGenerator has launched 29 companies at the Cortex with their help and the local community. So that's pretty amazing.
How do you get the word out? How do you get the word out that this is the place to be and recruit people to come in and...
So I think the word's getting out, Donna. In fact, if you look at the latest Brookings report, The Rise of Innovation Districts, Cortex is featured prominently. Mm-hmm. Bruce Katz talks a lot about what's happening in St. Louis. Here at Wexford, we're doubling down on our involvement both at Bridge Park and at Cortex. Sam and his team are doing a wonderful job, Dennis Lauer and his team. The one thing I would leave your listeners with is this is a regional-wide initiative, and so it needs to bring everybody together on a common mission.
It's very exciting stuff. We're going to have to leave it at that, gentlemen. Sam Fiorello with the Danforth Plant Science Center, thank you for being with us. Dave Smoller, thank you for being with us. And Tom Osha, good to see you. The Danforth Plant Science Center presents Let's Talk About Growing St. Louis's Plant and Life Science Ecosystem and Harvesting Commercial Success this evening at 6 o'clock at the Plant Science Center over on North Morrison Road. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Don.
Keep us posted on what you're doing. Join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape when he'll talk with Thomas Allen Harris about his documentary exploring the role of photography in shaping the identity, aspirations, and social emergence of African Americans from slavery to the present. He'll also take a look at the Black Reps production of A Raisin in the Sun. And in the next installment of Soundbites produced with Sauce Magazine, he'll talk with a local bartender about the challenges he faces since he lost his sense of smell. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with our legal roundtable panelists about issues pertaining to the law. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer with production assistance from Erica Smith, Aaron Dorr, Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. The program is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.